The next poem, I have to tell you some topographical information about Buffalo. It's at the western edge, for those of you who don't know, of New York State, on Lake Erie at the mouth of the Niagara River, which is just a channel that carries the water of Lake Ontario, of Lake Erie into Lake Ontario, and across the river from Buffalo is Fort Erie in Canada. And this is a kind of advice poem, a how to do it poem, in this case, how to resist time by trying to focus all one's energies on the moment. It's called Sarit Nare, and that you'll see is a name of someone. Now that the light holds on after supper, why not walk west to the end of Ferry Street and linger where the ferries used to dock before the bridge spanned the Niagara? Why not enlarge the thin verge of the moment with the Sunday crowd on deck 50 years ago, riding to Fort Erie and back just for the fun of it? The wind from the lake ruffles their hair as a low sun glances along the water. Just as they left their rooms to join the flow, so you can go back to them for a moment and lead them forward into the present where the gulls are gliding, swinging beneath the bridge in figures that blur as you watch and disappear. And why not call up the boys you used to see here, playing on the boulders in the bridge's shadow before the fence was put up to stop them? If one of them lost his footing, his chances were slim, the push in the channel too hard and heavy, the water of Erie beginning its headlong, brainless rush to join the Ontario, as if an extra minute mattered. Remember the evening you found a crowd here, waiting beside an ambulance with its motor running, and a squad car where a woman sat in back, head in her hands, dark-haired. Next morning, leafing through the local news, you found the story. Woman from Thailand, 3 years in the States, loses her son, 11, to the Niagara. Let yourself go if you want to enlarge the moment and imagine what might have happened if the boy, Sarit Nare, had been fished from the river in time. Try to think of him as your son's best friend at Niagara School, where friends were scarce, quieting a wildness you could never manage, the mild manners of Asia persuasive by mere example. And what if your daughter admires him even more and comes to choose him for her life's companion, not the drab complainer she ended up with? The world turned left that day on the forking path, but the path on the right still runs beside it, though never touching. A bountiful Buddha smile as he explains to your granddaughters and grandsons how to climb the eightfold path to freedom. His goals like these swoop over the gray stones and the ferries steam back and forth if you let them. Freely the crowd on deck empties its mind of thought and welcome sensation, the sun and wind. And then the riders waken to see the skyline of home beckoning from a distance as if it missed them. So they're ready to take up their lives again as the ship pulls in, where now a line of cars waits in the twilight to pay the bridge toll, not 30 yards from the spot where the ambulance waited and the woman cried in the back seat of the car. After an hour, the crowd moved off, dissolving to families, to couples, musing on twilight pastimes. For a moment, though, each may have hesitated to change the subject and appear small-souled. The mist of sorrow, already thinning and fading, that would have remained if they'd lived in Eden, the one kingdom where the sorrows of others feel like our own. When Buddha neared Nirvana, One story goes, you look back on us as we drown in a sea of endless craving and was filled with pity and chose to postpone his bliss till all were saved. But how can a climb from the world be managed here when the crowd on the ferry wants a sunset to linger and the mother would sell her soul to get her son back and the boy still struggles to grab the slippery rock and pull himself up, his friends all helping so he can grow old among them, an old man looking back on his deeds of kindness. Now the few who met him and the many who never did but might have feel the phantom gap he would have filled, but are ignorant of its cause and blame their wives, their husbands, their children, their towns and jobs, and hunt around for new gospels, new philosophies. If you see them this evening, pacing along the bank where once the ferries docked and the Sunday riders lost themselves a while in the sway and shimmer, pity their restlessness. There must be a way to step forward and name the one they miss, Sarit Nare, in a tone so resonant it holds them a moment beyond loss and longing.